rose.
He's risen. He's not a savior that's still hung on the cross. And I know that some people carry around a crucifix for, you know, the image of Christ. He's not there. I can remember when we as a family were on our way home from the mission field. We stopped off in the Middle East, and we went to Jerusalem, and we went into what they call the Holy Sepulchre. And it is where they have all sorts of ornaments and everything else within this chapel or church. But it was so dark. The only means of light were actually candles. And they had incense burning and everything else. And you see the incense smoke just all over. And then they had one place in that that chapel, in that room. And you had to look in there. And they claimed that that was a grave. And of course, it was empty. But you know something? That whole place just seemed like, well, like a funeral home. Just nothing was. You almost want to shout out, "He's risen! Praise God!" Because everybody was so surprised. You know, today is not the day to be quiet. In fact, there's no day to be quiet about Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And as you're doing that, if you'll open, if you'll take out your outline. But Luke chapter 24, if you're using the Pew Bible, I'd like you to turn to page 1052. 1052. You know, the resurrection, the death and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is recorded in all four Gospels. Because it's the very core of the Gospel. Jesus Christ died for us. It's according to the Gospel, according to the Scriptures. And Jesus Christ rose again on the third day from the grave, from the dead, with victory and triumph according to the Scriptures. He did all of that. Then, of course, after his resurrection, he met with the disciples in many, in different ways, in different areas, in different times after his resurrection. For 40 days, Jesus Christ gave infallible proofs of his resurrection. He ate with them, he talked with them, and I'm sure he even sang with them. Because there was a lot to sing about. But here in Luke chapter 24, another occasion where Jesus appears to his disciples in verse 36. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw spirit. And he said to them, "Why do you trouble and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? That it is I myself. Touch me and see. For spirit is not in flesh and blood, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling at it, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" Still had a fruit to them. I'm sure there were some that probably touched him and felt his hand, saw the scars. Then he gave them a piece of broiled fish. And he took it, and he ate before them. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." After those 40 years of his post-resurrection appearance, his joy with them, they truly realize, yes, he fulfilled the word of God. He is risen. He triumphs over death in the tomb. Then, of course, he was taken up into heaven. There now, where he is at the right hand of God the Father. He's coming back. The disciples, they remain gathered for prayer. And you know the story. I'm sure you do. There in the upper room. Then 10 days later, just as the Lord had promised. Because you know he's faithful. He's faithful to influence to me. He's faithful to his word. And the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. They had such a new life in Christ. They had that resurrection power of Christ within them. Well, take a look. Therefore, Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And he says so many times people rejoice and celebrate, hey, it's Christmas, the birth of Christ. And of course, Resurrection Sunday, some call it Easter, I prefer calling it Resurrection Sunday. That's me. Maybe that's you too, I don't know. But it's only an event in history for so many. But you know, it's to be an experience. To be an experience for every one of us. In fact, for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. To experience knowing Christ Jesus as Savior and experiencing the power of his resurrection. That's what I want to share with you today, because the good news is really good news. It's not half bad. It's all good. Okay. So, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, for your living word, your Son, Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, paying the full penalty, that we could be forgiven, that we could be redeemed and adopted by you, God, our Heavenly Father, into your family. That we have a gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to experience the power of Christ's resurrection every day of our lives. That it's not just a historical event, but it's an experience that we have every day. Father, we thank you too for the promise of eternal life with you, Lord Jesus. And we just pray now that as you open the hearts of the disciples, then as recorded in your word, open our hearts, our minds, our very souls to receive your word as it's read, as it's heard, as it's received by each and every one of us here today. That your good and perfect and holy will be accomplished in every heart, in every soul who's here this morning. And I thank you, Father, for them. And I thank you for what you're going to do gracefully, graciously, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we said, the resurrection, like Paul says, that I might know him in the power of the resurrection. That is Paul's daily desire to experience. And he did. Because that is part of that gift of the new life, is the power to live that new life. And you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just the promise of eternal life. It's all of that. But it's so much more. It's the power to live the new life in Christ Jesus right now, day by day, every day. And take you up at your outline before you. We have a number of verses. We're just going to allow the Word of God, and I'm going to ask you right now. I know we prayed already, but let's pray one more time, because this is so important. Let's just bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray, Lord, open my heart, open my mind, open your scriptures to my life, that I might know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior fully and completely, that I might experience the power of his resurrection in my life today and every day following. Would you pray that prayer right now? And Father, I pray that prayer in my own life too. May your word speak to our hearts, our minds, to the very depths of our souls, that we would experience that newness of life in Jesus Christ, in all the fullness that Christ is. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In your outline before you, we have Christ speaking about the new life. Take a look, if you will, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I came, Jesus came, that they might have life and have it abundantly. The abundant life is in Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. And he gives the power through his resurrection, through his life, through his grace, through his work in your life and my life, that we can live and enjoy that abundant life right now. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to enjoy the abundant life. The abundant life is now because it's in Christ Jesus. Right now, in your life, if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Let's go on. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us, what? Alive! He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The Christian life is a living life. The Christian life is Christ living in us and through us. The Christian life is a resurrected life. It really is. Let's go on to, if you will, Romans chapter 6:4. And when we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Because Christ gives that life. He's the author of that new life. Have you received that new life? Have you? Your life will show it. It really will. Your heart, your soul will respond to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, and God speaks to you. During and following the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, Joseph Stalin sent out emissaries from Moscow. And they were to go all to the country towns and cities. And they were to speak. And they were empowered with his authority to take whatever action he felt needed, an emissary felt needed, to bring the people in those towns and villages and cities under, if you will, the control of communism. And so, of course, they went to all the various towns, and they realized that one of the things that they would really have to deal with is with Christianity. Because Christianity was growing throughout Russia. And so, in this one church, in gathering place, they used the churches as assembly places because they were large and they could accommodate large crowds. But the emissary from Joseph Stalin was there, and he spoke for about 2-3 hours. About the grandeur of communism, and that everyone would have enough to eat, everyone would have everything they need, and the fact that there is no God, but your government will take care of you. Shades of things may be coming on in the world today that we live in, right? Yeah. But he hammered and hammered and hammered that there is no God. And so, of course, after that, he sat down and wondered what the response would be. Because he knew that he had to deal with the response that followed. Not just that day, but the days, the months, and maybe even the years later. So he sat down. There was a hush. He didn't know what the reaction would mean. And then a pastor in the back of the church stood up. And he put his hands to his mouth. Christ is risen! And everyone else stood up. Christ is risen indeed in the face of the coming persecution. And they persecuted all those villages and towns and cities where Christians lived. So wipe out Christianity. Think of the freedom you and I have today where we can say, we can say without any restrictions, without any threats, Christ is risen. Christ is risen to you. But what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to all of us and to your families that might not be here, but they're represented here in your life? What does that declaration of faith and conviction and commitment mean? Is it just an event? Or is it truly an experience? I want you to join with me as we look at the experience of the power of the resurrection of Christ. First of all, it's a new life of faith in the crucified and risen Savior. It's living that life in Jesus Christ and Him living His life through us. First of all, it's faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Take a look at your outline there. The very person who is the Son of God and the Son of Man. It's a life that believes in the fact that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. That Jesus Christ is God the Son who came in the flesh, was conceived. There is a woman virgin, her name is Mary, under the power of the Holy Spirit, was birthed there in Bethlehem, and we celebrate his birth. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? Yes, we believe by faith that he is indeed the very Son of God, and he's also the Son of Man. That wonderful miracle and mystery of the incarnation, we can't fully understand it, but it happened. God did it. And so that new life of faith begins with faith in the very person of the person Jesus Christ, who he is, and who he's declared himself to be, and who the Word of God constantly gives testimony that he is indeed the crucified, risen Son of God. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you? Or is he just a good teacher, just a good example, just someone who is really, really moral, a really good person, or is he truly the Son of God who died for your sins, for my sins? You see, that's where that faith begins. believing that he is indeed the very Son of God, like he declared and like he proved in many miracles, in his teaching and proclaiming God's word, but also in the miracle of his resurrection. Faith not only in the person of Jesus Christ, but also faith in the purpose of Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to make good people better people. He came to save sinners, which we all are, that we could be forgiven, that we could start with a new life. Take a look in your outline before you. It's also faith in the power of Jesus Christ to save to the uttermost. Do you know that there is no sin too great or too grievous that Jesus Christ cannot forgive? That his blood has not paid that price for that? Do you realize that there is no habit, no addiction, no pattern of life that Jesus Christ can't change to the glory of God? You see, he has power to save to the uttermost. And he proved that in his resurrection. It's faith in the purpose of God, of Jesus Christ, and faith in the power of Jesus Christ to save to the uttermost, and faith in the promise and provision of Jesus Christ, that he provides all things that you and I need every day of our lives for life and godliness. Knowing and by faith receiving those daily needs of the sufficiency of Christ. Yes, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs as well. God is clear that in Jesus Christ we have the all-sufficiency of God himself and his Son, because Christ lives. As we continue on and we look at the resurrection power and life in us, it's a new life of forgiveness and forgiving others. Did you see that? You see that new life in Jesus Christ is not only a life of forgiveness for ourselves, and we all need forgiveness, we really do, I do. But we also need to forgive others. And that's the new life in Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, the power of his life in your life, in my life, in the body of Christ, the church's life, that indeed forgiving sinners to the blood of Jesus Christ are enabled and commanded to forgive others. Take a look, if you will, and let's just let the Word of God speak to us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. Isn't that crucified, risen Savior? The debt was paid. Also in his resurrection, he gives us power over, if you will, over sin in our lives. Even the sin of an unforgiving spirit. That's sin, you know. I've known that in my own life, too. But you see, that new life in Jesus Christ is not only the power of his forgiving us, but he enables us to forgive others. Take a look at this next verse. It's really an awesome verse. Take a look. Be kind to one another. Oh, that I can handle. That's no problem. You have a problem being kind to somebody? Most of the time we don't, right? If we don't feel kind that day, we avoid everybody, right? No, I'm only joking. Well, sometimes we do. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. That's getting a little closer, a little deeper, isn't it? Being tender-hearted. You mean I really have to listen to you? I really have to try to seek and understand what you're facing? I have to be tender-hearted. And you are too. But notice, this is a hard one. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You see, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have believed in a crucified Christian Savior, know that our sins are forgiven. Aren't you glad? I sure am. All of our sins are paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. And through the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, he gives us the power to live that Christian life. And part of living that Christian life is that we can forgive one another. We can forgive others that offend us, even when they don't ask for forgiveness. That's hard, I know. But in your heart, you say, Lord, I know you paid for that also. And You open the door for reconciliation, Lord, I want to be reconciled with that person, but right now, I release them from that debt, of that sin, that offense, that transgression against me. And I'll never bring it up to them. So, a new life of forgiveness and forgiving others. Take a look at the next one. A new life of freedom. Boy, I like that, don't you? Freedom. Yeah. Remember that song, Born Free? You know, you seem to resonate, isn't it? In your heart, your mind. And of course, when you heard that song, you began to sing with it. Yeah, born free. Yeah, I am. And you are in Christ Jesus. You're born free. Take a look, if you will. A new life of freedom from slavery to serve the living God. And of course, a verse that was quoted even by our choir. And you know, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what truth does. It sets people free from the bondage and the control of lies, of falsehoods, the sin of untruth. Okay? The truth sets you free from those things. And so the new life in Jesus Christ, by the power of His resurrection, for He is the living truth, and if the truth shall set you free, you are free. Take a look, if you will. And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Sin is a cruel slave master. You and I know that. Sin is a cruel, cruel slave master. It's like the links in a chain. Forged in hell. And as sin gets stronger and stronger, more controlling, whatever the addiction, whatever the habit, whatever the pattern of life, or the pattern of speech, or pattern of actions, that sin gets stronger and stronger. You and I can never break those chains. But the good news is, Jesus Christ breaks those links, breaks those chains in every morning, every evening. Take a look at the next verse, if you will. So the Son shall set you free, you will be free what? Indeed, yes. What an emphasis, and indeed, rightly so is the emphasis. Only He can break those links, if you will, those strong links of sin that want to overpower us and control our lives, to get us back into, if you will, under the control of that addiction, or that habit of gossip or slander, or whatever it may be, or if you will, the bondage of an unforgiving spirit, whatever it may be, or the bondage of lying, and whatever it might be. It becomes that which seeks to control our lives, and Christ will set us free. He's done it. Because of who He is. And the power of His resurrection that Paul wrote about and spoke about and prayed about. And you and I understand that the power of His resurrection is His need. Not only to set us free, but to allow us and to encourage us and to empower us to live that life of freedom. So whatever relationship that we are in, whatever bonds we are in that is wrong, God will set me free. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember that song, He breaks the power of cancel sin and sets the prisoner free. Freedom from the power of Satan. Freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. Freedom from this world. Freedom from the fear of death. But that's what God's Word tells us. Part of the wonderful experience in the power of Christ's resurrection and life of the believer is that we don't have to fear death anymore. It no longer controls our lives. You and I meet people who are afraid of dying. You know, not that, you know, we don't look at it, yeah, come on! No, but we're not afraid of it. Because Jesus Christ said, because I live, you shall live also. I go prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to be there with me. That was a risen Savior that could promise that. That's a risen Savior who does that in the life of every believer. So we are indeed set free by the very Son of God. Freedom from slavery to sin, but to serve the living God. You see, that's the other side of the coin. It's not just freedom from sin, but now we're free to serve. Amen? Let's go on. A new life with a future, an eternal life guaranteed by Christ's resurrection. Take a look there at your outline before you. John chapter 20. Again, let's just let the Word of God speak to our hearts. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. This is Jesus speaking about you and I. You have come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus. And I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I believe that Jesus Christ does save to the uttermost. And he does give the gift of eternal life that we begin right now. In fact, in divine eternal life by knowing the one true God and the one whom God the Father has sent, his Son Jesus Christ. Knowing him in a personal relationship. Yes. Think of all that Christ is doing in your life right now. Think of all that he wants to do yet in your life. In your family, in his church. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? There's a question to Mary and Martha. They saw the resurrection, if you will, the resuscitation of their brother Lazarus from the grave. Yet Lazarus had to die again. That wasn't a true, complete resurrection of Jesus Christ, like Christ's resurrection. But it showed Christ has the power over death, as well as disease and demons. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells within you. The new life is the life of the resurrection power in the life of Jesus Christ. It's a life by faith in him and him alone. It's a life where God showers his grace upon his children every day through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a life of prayer. It's a life of prayer knowing that God hears our prayers. That he answers them. It's a life of freedom. Freedom from sin and its power. Freedom from Satan. Freedom from habits and addictions. Serve God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Just last month, March 26, 2019, British Airways had a flight 3271, took off from the London City Airport en route to, of course, you have to ask the passengers thought they were going to Dusseldorf, Germany, and they had a ticket to prove it. It said from England to Germany. But the pilots and the flight crew, they had a different destination. Unbeknownst to all the passengers, they were going to Edinburgh, Scotland. All the passengers realized when they got down and landed in Scotland, they're at the wrong destination. What happened here? And so British Airways began to explore. They said, well, we have to apologize. You know, really, we're sorry that you landed in Edinburgh, Scotland. As nice as the weather is, they try to really, you know, soft open. As nice as the weather is, but we'll be sure to get you in your destination of Düsseldorf, Germany. And so another flight was made from Edinburgh, Scotland. But it gives us an illustration, you know something? People are really sincere about their lives, about how they live their lives. Sincere about where they hope to go. But the truth of the matter is, without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, without the power of the life of Christ within you, you can be as sincere as you want. All of us can be as sincere, but you know something? Millions and millions of people are sincerely wrong.
You see, Jesus Christ came to not just make you sincere, but to take sinners like you and I, and to forgive us, and to cleanse us, and to bring us into the very house of God, and to say, look, I promise the great gift of eternal life. And you can count on it. Because not only did I die for you, I also rose triumphant in the grave. Are you experiencing the power of the life of Christ, the risen Savior? Are you? In your outline before you, on the back of the page, to maybe settle some of maybe confusion, maybe redirect from sincerity in the way that we are going to absolute certainty in Jesus Christ. Do you want to know and experience the power of Christ's resurrection is a questionnaire. Using the word power as an acrostic, it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Personal saving relationship with Christ, that's where it begins. To know that you know that you know that you're saved. To know that you have Christ within you, Christ living his life within you. Oh, obey Christ's commands with a willing heart and joyful spirit. That's part of that power of the new life in Jesus Christ. Walk and talk with Jesus throughout each day. Express your new life to others in word and deed. The R, rely on and trust in Jesus' daily life. Living for him and for his kingdom. Where are you right now? I know you're going to say, the only where I am. I'm a Southbound Bible Church.
Yes, you are.
Praise God. We thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for everyone. But maybe in your outline before you, maybe those three different prayers, maybe one of them is speaking of your heart, your mind, your soul right now. I don't know. But the Lord knows. He's here amongst us. He's here with us. And he's here for us too. Take a look. Maybe you're searching. And you're saying, Bill, I really don't understand all this about Christianity. I really don't understand all the Bible. I'll tell you something. I don't understand all the Bible either. I'm still learning. But maybe you're searching and you want to be sure of the destination of your life in eternity to come, that you don't end up at the wrong place. It's a simple prayer here. If you're searching, you can pray these words. There's nothing magical about these words. But if you're expressing your heart's desire, Lord, I'm seeking you. I don't fully understand you. I don't know where I am right now. Lord, show me. Guide me. But maybe you're one who's, you know that you got to be saved. You know that you need to know the Lord personally. It's a prayer just asking for salvation. But maybe you're struggling. Maybe, like we all have, because even Christians struggle. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a habit you want to break. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something going on in your own life. I don't know. But maybe it's something you're struggling with. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ can take a broken life, a broken relationship, and he can bring healing and wholeness to that life and that relationship. I know that personally. So maybe you'd like to just take time today and pray that prayer. Lord, I'm struggling. I believe in you. I know you as my Lord and Savior. But Lord, I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling in my family. I'm struggling at work. I'm struggling with this addiction, with this habit, with this pattern of my life that I'm really not pleased with, that I know that you're not pleased with. You see, the death and resurrection of Christ is indeed a historical event. But most importantly, and most personally, God means it to be a personal experience. To know Him and the power of His resurrection. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into this sin-cursed, sin-controlled world that we were such a part of. Thank you for salvation. For your death on the cross, paying the penalty for all of our sins that we could be forgiven, giving us new life in you, Lord Jesus, the power of your resurrected life. Lord, I pray for all who are here. I thank you, Father, for every man, every woman, every young person here in the sanctuary. I pray, Father, for the working of your word, the effectual working in all our hearts. Lord, may you be glorified with the outcome of that effectual work of your word in our lives, in our marriages, and in our families. We ask this, Heavenly Father, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.